This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to meet our first special guest. He's a comedian and a producer and writer on the Showtime series Desus and Mero. His new book of personal essays is called Nice Try, Stories of Best Intentions and Mixed Results. Please welcome to the stage Josh Gondelman. Josh, such a pleasure.
Oh my gosh, what a joy, Ophira.
Welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you for having... They're laughing at my very essence.
They are laughing at your essence.
They're like, this guy is a comical, whimsical man.
They're already happy. They're happy. You know, so one of the things I love about you, which is you give these pep talks on Twitter, and people really open up.
It's really fascinating, and that sounds so clinical, but I'm really flattered and touched by the way, because people will sometimes respond. I'll just say like, hey, if anyone needs to hear a kind word, let me know. I'm here for 5 minutes for a pep talk. And people will say things as ranging as like, my father is sick, or like, I just lost my job and I'm worried about providing for my family. And like, I'm not qualified to solve those problems, but I can say like, probably something good will happen in the future. Your father can only die once, and then...
True.
That's not where I start, but, like, I'm just saying worst-case scenario, that's where I end up.
How long have you been doing this?
Probably, like, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, okay.
And I do it pretty regularly. I definitely, like, when I'm on the road doing stand-up, I'll do it a lot because it's just, like, the night ends and, like, there's nobody. But when I'm at home, my wife is asleep and I'm like, oh, good idea.
Right.
And then I go to sleep. But when I'm on the road, I'm just like, well, there's always infomercials.
Yeah, right. So, like, the hours, just the hours.
Yeah, there's so many hours. Even the bad ones. And you forget how bad they are.
You do forget.
You just like stare them down. You're like, 3 a.m., let's dance.
And why did you start this?
I started doing it because I think I was in a little bit of a rough place personally. And I was like, I would love a kind word from someone. But instead of like asking, because I could have gone on the internet and been like, internet, will you say a nice thing to me? And like probably some people would have, and then a few other people would have been like, eat a pile of poop. And I would have been like, yeah, okay, I get it. This is the internet. But I was like, instead of asking for that, maybe someone else feels the way I do and I can do something for them that will make them feel a little better. And then I will feel commensurately better.
So 2014, you land a big gig working on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah, that's true.
But you were hired in the first season.
I was.
And, you know, you've been working on it for many years. And you, I mean, that was the big break. You left your day job. You were an SAT prep tutor.
Yeah, I was doing SAT prep, but also like prep school entrance exam test prep, which is like a big thing in New York.
But you kept that job until the last day?
There was no time in between. I kept the test prep job through my like third week working in television because I started right before the March SAT administration. And so I didn't want to like leave my last couple students in the lurch. So I like had, it might've just been one kid that I worked with. And so I had a couple last sessions with her because I didn't want to be like, I'm living my dream. So figure it out for yourself, kid. Yeah.
But now you have a great new job. You're a boss. You're a supervising producer and writer for another show, Showtime's late night talk show with the comedians Desus and Mero. So that's like a whole
thank you. They're
like
the best.
A whole cool new job.
John is also the best, but they're also the best.
Yeah. But it does feel to me like it's a totally different. It's a switch. It's like a 180.
It is the opposite job.
From working on writing for John Oliver.
Yeah, truly, like, my media diet went from, like, watching Frontline documentaries in my office with my headphones in and, like, just weeping softly at my old job. Just a lot of soft weeping, which is a weirdly large part of my comedy career, is the crying. And now it's a lot of, like, well, let's see what's new on World Star Hip Hop today.
Okay, so you have a new book coming out of personal essays. I love the name. It's called Nice Try, Stories of Best Intentions and Mixed Results.
literally the story of my life.
Yes. And so we mentioned earlier that you have a reputation of being nice in comedy. And in the beginning of this book, you talk about this. And actually, you make a comparison, a parallel between yourself and the Patrick Swayze film Roadhouse.
Yes.
Can you just give that?
Sure. So for those of you who don't know Roadhouse, shame. But there's this speech, the plot of Roadhouse is Patrick Swayze is America's best bouncer, and he comes to bounce at America's worst bar, the Double Deuce. And so Patrick Swayze, he gives a speech about how it's important to be nice, right? Like when someone is being a jerk at the bar, you be nice, and if you have to walk them out, you be nice, and if it's intractable, you get a friend or a colleague, and then and you both be nice. And then the speech kind of culminates with someone asking, like, well, how do I know when to not be nice? And he says, I'll tell you, and I'm still waiting for someone to tell me, like, when to not be nice.
Come on, there has to be a time when you were mean.
Occasionally I'll get snappy with strangers, but it always comes out so weak. Like, it's so humiliating when I try to be unkind. It's like truly brutal. I was like years ago, I was at an airport and I was traveling alone. I had like a layover on my way home from a gig. And I was like, I just want to leave my bag so I can pee. I don't want to like drag all my bag and my backpack into the bathroom. And I said, I'm so sorry. I know you're not supposed to do this. There's just a woman sitting there. I said, would you mind if I left my bag near you? I'm just going to run and pee. I'll be back within 3 minutes. And she said, well, you know, that's not allowed, so I won't do that. And I said, well, enjoy living in fear. And like, what? Why? She was right. I just picked the wrong battles.
All right, Josh, are you ready
for your
Ask Me Another Challenge? All right, fantastic. Josh Gondelman, please welcome your opponent, comedian Catherine Cohen.
Stop. I am so shy. Hi.
Hi, Catherine.
How are
nice
you?
To see you.
Nice to see you as well.
Thank you for joining us for this competitive challenge.
Oh, my God, my greatest pleasure.
This game is inspired by Josh's family tradition of eating Klondike bars before Bruins hockey games.
That's true.
Okay.
Can you please tell us about this tradition?
Sure. So this was 2011. The Bruins were in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Vancouver Canucks, which still sounds like a slur. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. And
it's the Vancouver Canucks. It's fine. It's like saying the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, but I know what a duck is. And I can call a duck, and they'll never get mad at me. So they were in the Stanley Cup Finals, and my
I don't know any of the words you're saying.
That's like when you win. That's like when you're the most hockey.
Yeah.
So they would. My dad and my sister would eat a Klondike bar before the game. It just happened that was the dessert they were eating, and every time they ate one, it felt like the Boston Bruins, that's the hockey team, won the hockey game. That's hockey. Okay. So they kept doing it. So I recorded my first stand-up album during that series, and my dad and my sister, it was during a game, and they came, which is very un-Boston of them, to turn their back on sports for a couple hours. And so they came and they brought Klondike bars the show, and they gave them out to anyone in the audience, which is super cute. Yeah.
I'm sobbing.
They're adorable. Yeah.
So this is a game, it's a two truths and a lie game called Sports Superstition Edition. I'll list three superstitions related to sports. Two are things people actually believe. One is something we have made up. And after I've finished reading the question, ring in and tell me which one is the lie. All right, let's give it a shot. Which of these is a made-up story about an athlete reluctant to give up his lucky gear? A, Michael Jordan wore his college basketball shorts under his NBA shorts. B, baseball legend Reggie Jackson didn't want to give up his batting helmet, so when he switched teams, he had it painted over with a new team's logo. Mm. Or Rafael Nadal only wears tennis shoes handmade by artisans in Spain to the point where he's passed on sneaker endorsement deals. Josh.
That third one, Rafael Nadal, if that's true, that's ridiculous. What do you have, Daniel Day-Lewis make all his tennis shoes?
You're right, Nadal has a Nike endorsement deal, so you are correct. But Rafael Nadal has a ton of rituals. He takes a freezing cold shower before he goes into any match.
Because he's too for tennis.
He has a thing about his placement of his energy drinks and waters, you know, at the with the labels facing towards the court. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's tough being him. Okay, in photography, which of these is not a popular superstition? It is bad luck to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated. B, it's bad luck to appear on the cover of a Madden football video game. Or C, it is bad luck to appear in an underwear ad. Josh.
C, I know the Madden curse is real.
Yeah.
And I think Sports Illustrated, I'm going to say underwear. I'm going to stick with underwear.
It's true. Wow. You got it right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, never appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Supposedly, right after that, you get injured.
Oh, I have to call my manager.
Oh, no.
In socks. Which of these isn't true? Serena Williams reportedly wears the same pair of socks for the duration of a tennis tournament. Soccer star Abby Wambach cuts toe holes in her socks, saying it helps her kick straight. Or Olympic cyclist Laura Trott won a race while wearing a wet sock, and after that she wore one wet sock during every race.
No. Oh, that's perverted. That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, which one's not true?
Okay, I'll guess.
Yeah, Catherine.
I guess one is wrong.
The Serena Williams.
Mm-hmm.
That one's real.
Okay, I have to go.
Interesting. Josh, can you steal?
I think the wet sock thing is true but gross.
True but gross, the name of my novel. Yeah. Of essays. My essays.
Extremely true and incredibly gross. I think it's B. I think it's the toe holes.
You are correct. Yeah, she doesn't do that.
Thank you.
All right, and finally, which of these is not a raw seafood item hockey fans have thrown on the ice? A, octopuses thrown by Detroit Red Wings fans, scallops thrown by Las Vegas Golden Knights fans, or catfish thrown by Nashville Predators fans.
Honey, no one's throwing a scallop on the ice. Ding dong.
It's true, scallops are not thrown on the ice because, right, too expensive.
They taste too good.
Yeah.
They're very tasty.
Josh is the winner of that game.
Wow.
Catherine got way more style points, I do believe.
Way more style points.
It couldn't have happened to a better man.
But congratulations, Josh, you and listener Nikki Matosian from San Diego, California, both won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes. So exciting. Josh Gondelman's latest comedy album is called Dancing on a Weeknight. He and Catherine will be back later in the show, but give it up for Josh Gondelman and Catherine Cohen. Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.